Lent is a time of fasting, but it's not a time for fasting from the Word. Every day we get another banquet from the Word of God, and today's a good example. Of course, the heart of the liturgy of the Word is the Our Father. The teaching of the Our Father comes from the Sermon on the Mount. But the wisdom of the liturgy puts this teaching of prayer, which is our words to God, together with the first reading about God's words to us, or actually the power of God's word, not only to us, but to all creation. God's word, which comes down from the heavens like rain and snow, and has its guaranteed a fertile effect. So what we have here is the two sides of prayer. Prayer, which in our common understanding is what we do, what we say. It's one of the three disciplines of Lent: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. But no, prayer is not just something we do. Prayer is a conversation that we enter into with God. So it's partly also what He does. Let's start with what we do, because that's the part we're most focused on, and this is what Jesus tells us to do. Let's start with the Gospel. In the Gospel, this is the section of the Sermon on the Mount that we skipped over last Wednesday when we were told about almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. If you remember last Wednesday, what Jesus told us about prayer was this: when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you. That was the part we heard last Wednesday. But then it continues with this part: in praying, do not babble like the pagans, who think that they will be heard because of their many words. So in both cases, yes, last Wednesday and today, Jesus first gives us advice about how not to pray. Don't pray like hypocrites who are doing only exterior actions. Rather, pray from the heart, from the inner room. And then in today's Gospel, don't pray like the pagans. Pagans who just multiply words, who babble, as if they don't care what the words actually mean. They're just piling up words to influence God. And Jesus says in this case as well, don't be like that. So don't be like hypocrites, don't be like pagans. And then he teaches us the marvelous prayer, the Our Father. In Matthew's Gospel, it's Jesus who takes the initiative to teach us this. It's part of his long instruction. In Luke's Gospel, the disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray, just like John taught his disciples. Again, you see this two-sided conversation. There's both what God wants, and God wants us to pray. He wants us to enter into this conversation. He teaches us how to do it. But then he also plants in our hearts a desire to do it. That's what we see in Luke's Gospel, where they ask, teach us to pray. So we want to learn how to pray, or it's somewhere deep within us, a longing for this connection with God. Because we're made for this. We're made for God. When we don't have it, we feel it. We might not have it clear in our minds what's missing, but we know something is missing. And tragically, we fill in that emptiness with lots of things if we don't fill it with God. Part of Lent, of course, is to empty ourselves of all those other things. All the news and all the talk and all the activity and all the foods and all whatever. So that deeper longing, the longing for God, comes forth and we can respond to it. But it comes from God. It comes from God, and it also comes from us. God doesn't force us to pray, but he draws us to himself. And so here he's teaching us how to pray. We have done some long studies on the Our Father and the seven petitions. Let me just point out, because I'm emphasizing this two-sided part of the conversation. Even though it's a two-sided conversation, it's not a conversation between equals. Neither is it a conversation between a tyrant and a slave. It's the conversation between the father and his children. So the father and the children are not equal, but they're not completely different either, and they're not opposed to each other. They're part of the same family. When we pray to the Father, we have a confidence that he really is on our side. We're not guessing whether he's going to listen or whether he's going to respond. We honor him in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. We pray for his kingdom to come, as we know it will anyway. What's going to stop God's kingdom from coming? Well, we might stop it in our own hearts or in our own lives, but we can't stop God. So what we're doing is we're opening ourselves to God. But then we acknowledge our need for God, our poverty. The Our Father is a prayer of the poor. How do I mean? Well, because we say, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, every day we have needs that we can't satisfy on our own. That's the poor. We're poor. The anomin, dependent on God, every day. And that's why we pray this prayer every day. Not only in the Mass, but in our own personal prayers. So we are children of the Father, and in that sense we're rich, but we are entirely dependent, and in that sense we're poor, and we acknowledge both of these. Yes, we have a Father in heaven. Who could be richer than the children of a king? Who could be richer than people whose father has everything and does everything? But who could be poorer than those who can't even make it through one day without help? Okay, so we're the poor. And then we acknowledge in the Our Father not only our relationship with him, but our relationship with others, which is often damaged by sin, and so we must forgive and be forgiven. A big part of the Our Father, and the little addition to the Our Father, has to do with forgiving and being forgiven. Again, this is a big part of Lent, to seek forgiveness, to go to confession, to acknowledge that we have sinned and that we need God's mercy, and at the same time, acknowledging that we must forgive those who sin against us, those who have trespassed against us. Because if we don't do that, then we are blocking this power of God's mercy. We're filling in the space. We're blocking that deep inner longing for God with some kind of resentment or anger or refusal to forgive or rejection of love. And when we do that, then we can't receive the love of God either. So that's the beautiful prayer of the Our Father. Now, it's not, as I say, it's not just us saying this prayer. God is also speaking to us, and that's clearer from the first reading. Excuse me. That in the first reading, it's not about us. The dynamics of God and his creation is not all about us. It's about God, what he's doing, what he decides, and how he decides to do it. So it's a beautiful image of the Word of God being something like rain and snow. It comes down from heaven. I mean, we don't make it come down. We have no control over the weather, as we know very well. We are recipients of the rain and the snow. I know it doesn't snow here, but still. The idea of rain and snow is something we could ponder for just a moment. When it rains, the water immediately enters into the ground. Well, if there's too much rain, of course, it washes the ground away. But when it snows, if you've ever been in a snowy place, the snow comes down and it just sits there. It doesn't penetrate the ground. It waits. And this is a good thing to reflect on, because sometimes God's word is spoken and yet does not immediately bear fruit. In northern climates and northern hemisphere climates where there was a lot of snow last month or 2 months ago, this time of year, the weather gets warmer and the snow starts to melt. And then when that happens for 2 days or a week, a lot of snow melts at the same time and a lot of water is available. And the rivers fill up and the fields are all full of mud. And it's a perfect environment for planting and growing season. So I know that's not the system in the tropics, but it's still something to reflect on because God's word is like this. God is speaking all the time, every day, but his word does not have immediate effect in our experience every day. Just like snow doesn't immediately water the ground, even though that's its intent. It's as if the timing is different, and we don't know when it's going to melt and when it's going to seep into the earth or fill the rivers. So this is something like God's word. So it's like snow and rain. And then it says here, it doesn't return there, it doesn't go back to heaven until it has had its effect, making the earth fertile and fruitful, providing seed, providing bread. And the Lord says through Isaiah the prophet, this is how my word is. This is how my word is. It comes forth from my mouth. It doesn't get blocked, contracepted. It's not weak. It has the power to do the purpose for which I sent it. This is very clear in creation. If you go back to Genesis, where God says, let this be, let there be this and that. And it happens. There's no obstacle to the power of God's word. That's also a good thing to reflect on, because in our experience, because we're broken and we're limited, we don't see what God is doing and how his word is having effect. It seems to us as if sometimes God's word doesn't do anything at all, or that it's blocked by the sinfulness in the world, or by our own sinfulness. But that's not so. We block the power of the word in our own lives, but we don't, not ultimately, we're not that powerful. So we can remove ourselves from the path, from the fertile soil. We can make ourselves into a footpath so that the seed can't penetrate. But the seed is still powerful. The word is still powerful. The creative, loving word is still powerful. And that's why it's important for us to ponder the word. This is the attitude of the poor who are asking for our daily bread, are also asking for our daily word, which is even more important, right? We don't live on bread alone. We don't live on daily bread alone, our food alone. In fact, we can even go a day without food and still live, but we can't live without God. We can't live without the power of his word giving us life and mercy. So that's why we ponder the word every day, give time to the word every day. And this is part of Lent as well. More time for prayer. Not only to say the words of the Our Father, not time to be like hypocrites, not time to babble like pagans, but time to let the word, with all its power, sink into the inner room of our hearts.